Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Wow. I'm getting all of my, as what my mother used to say, knitting straight. Last week, as we closed out our service, our sermon, I, from memory, quoted John chapter 14, if you remember. And in doing so, I said that Philip said, "We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Well, Thomas said that, not Philip. Well, I had Philip on my mind because he came back with the next question, "Show us the Father." So now that you've found out that I'm not infallible, maybe you'll still stay and listen. I'm glad everybody can hear this morning. We've got a speaker going here, and I don't get to yell. I'm sorry about that, too, because I like yelling. All my kids and my wife can tell you that. I want to talk to you this morning about dealing with fear and anxiety. And I've had this in my mind for quite a while, and part of our ongoing Being a Christian series. And I've been in it pretty deeply this week, and but weeks ahead before now. And I actually had planned on preaching it last Sunday, but I felt the Lord wanted me to talk about compassion of Christ last week, so it took precedent over. But I want to get it in today, and maybe not exactly the way you kind of expect it to come out. Because you may even wonder what the text that I've chosen has anything to do with it. But hopefully we can show that at the end. And speaking of end, I need to get my clock here in front of me so I'll know when to end. And we'll see some wonderful things. The main goal of what we're supposed to see in any sermon is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what the subject is. Doesn't matter. That's what the goal of the preacher should be, is the glory of Christ. Without Christ, we wouldn't have preachers. Without Christ, we wouldn't have sermons. Without Christ, we wouldn't have a Bible. Without Jesus, we wouldn't have a church. And so hopefully that's the goal here this morning, that we can honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about anxiety and worry, I might not say what you want me to hear, what you want to hear. I can only tell you what I see in the Scriptures. And hopefully it will be used by the blessed Spirit of God to bless our hearts. And I'm sort of anxious to hear it myself. If people really understood how much the preacher didn't know about what he was going to say when he got up front, but I'm not a longhand Jonathan Edwards type of person. So it kind of gets interesting to me as well. Worry and anxiety is something that we all deal with. Now, I know we as Christians don't, right? We don't worry about anything, do we?
Yeah.
We're not anxious about anything. Because we're Christians, right? We don't have any fears or any concerns of any kind. Well, that's silly. Because we're human. And worry and anxiety is a part of human emotion. It's part of who we are. And there's one reason why we have worry and anxiety. It's because we have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. We actually don't even know what's going to happen at the end of today. Now, about a year and a half or so ago, I preached a sermon here, When Tomorrow is Different. And it was basically on that subject, that when we have expectations of what tomorrow is going to be, and we wake up tomorrow and it's not what we expect it to be, then that upsets our life and upsets our thinking patterns. Worry and anxiety, and I didn't even look at the notes on that this week because I didn't want it to influence what I say, but worry and anxiety is a part of our life. It's a part of who we are. You may worry about a lot of things. You may worry about your family. You may worry about your children, grandchildren now, most of us. You may worry about your job, your future. You may worry about your health. You may worry about the world we live in. If you've been watching the news the last few weeks, there's quite a bit of concern there. You may worry about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no Christian will talk about that, but there's probably not any that at some point haven't had concerns because they see the coldness of their own hearts at times. And they wonder, wait a minute. And in Scripture, so searches out the soul that it can cause worry even about eternal condition. That's why we need the fellowship of the Spirit to reassure us and to keep us reassured through the Word of God that we are His. So worry and anxiety can take several forms. And every one of you, since I've been talking about it, have been thinking of some things in your mind that cause you worry and anxiety. I'd like to tell you, based on Scripture, that that's going to go away. But I can't. Because even the Apostle Paul and Peter and all the guys who wrote the epistles, they expressed some type of concern in some of the things that they wrote. Paul had concern for the church. If you remember in 2 Corinthians, he had that burden on him and a concern for it. You remember in Philippians, he was concerned about a brother named Epaphroditus, about his health. Remember, the Lord had mercy on him, and he evidently healed this man, and that relieved Paul of a lot of worry and anxiety. So I think that's just part of who we are as humans. I'm one of the world's worst worriers. It's part of our nature, and it's a part of mine. And we call it fretting around our house so it doesn't sound so bad. But either way, it is what it is. Worry and anxiety, I looked them up not in the Greek language, but in the regular dictionary. Here's what worry is defined as: to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. Now, that's a rather general statement, but it's true. Worry is something that torments us from time to time. The word anxiety, the definition is a feeling of worry or nervousness or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And they're sort of synonymous terms at times, and sometimes they're not. Now, anxiety can be good because it brings about concern. And concern is an emotion. And it also develops into caution. That's what keeps you from walking up and sticking your hand down in a rattlesnake nest. Because you have concern, or you would worry that one of them would bite you. So it's not always bad. But it seems like, as we apply it to our lives, it always seems to be that way. especially when it relates to our family and to our world we live in and to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that our relationship sometimes causes us worry. Now that's a fact. And I'm going to take you down a little bit this morning. Well, come back up, okay? Because I kind of got a little down this week myself thinking about this, because it hits home to who we are. Now, worry and anxiety can be results of a lot of things. It's just a product of uncertainty. Now, it can also result from some type of wrongdoing. Maybe a person has done something wrong and they worry or have some type of expectation of punishment. I know that for me at my age, that could have a lot to do about me worrying about if I've made my wife mad. Because I worry about the expectation of what that means. Although she's always like this, so she really is not that bad. I remember when I used to come home from work, and I could hear my children crying, and they could hear Daddy coming up the steps, and they had done something wrong, and they had to worry about facing Daddy. And I was hard to face sometimes, I have to tell you, because you see how I look. I mean, I'm not really as mean as I look, but I could definitely be a disciplinarian from time to time, but not overly so. So I don't really relate that much to making my wife mad, because my wife never gets mad at me. But I can relate to my children. And there can be a part of it. Maybe worry and anxiety is a result of some real situation that we have no control over. Maybe you have an illness or death in your family or friends, or maybe there's all types of things that can cause us to have worry and anxiety, things we have no control over whatsoever. Or maybe there's some kind of financial issue that you've had to deal with. Probably every one of us have had to deal with those things. Or maybe there's something unseen. It might be a question, as I said, focusing on God, maybe worrying about abandonment. Maybe thinking, well, maybe I haven't believed like I should. Or maybe a question, as I said, of our own salvation. These could be just a few things that we could have worry and anxiety over. But the reality is, as I said, we're emotional beings. And worry and anxiety is part of our lives. And it's mostly a result of the fact that we don't know tomorrow. But what's the remedy for it? There's a real remedy for it. Now, the Satan's preachers, and I saw him, one of them, on TV this morning. And I made myself listen to him again this week. I had to. And I learned a long time ago, if you listen to that guy one time, you've heard him every time he talks. But their remedy is to expect something from God because He owes it to you. That job you're looking for is just down the road. That promotion that you want is coming your way. That illness that you have, if you will just take a hold of God's promises, it will go away. That wayward child will definitely change their way and come home. You're going to meet many friends and make a lot of friends and have a great family all your life. Your senior years will be free of care and worry. You'll be healthy up until the day that you die. And if you believe enough and claim enough of God's promises, You'll never be sick leading up to it. Those are lies. But they get people to write checks. You see? And people don't write checks when you tell them what I'm about to tell you. And I've searched the Word of God, and nobody can exhaust it. But I've looked into this subject in the New Testament, and I can promise you one thing. I cannot sit here this morning and tell you that tomorrow you won't get sick. And I don't mean with a head cold, I mean sick. I can't tell you that tomorrow you won't go to the doctor and him or her tell you, I'm sorry to have to tell you this. There's nothing in God's Word that guarantees you that. Some of you have had to deal with that in your lifetime. I can't tell you that you're not going to have a rebellious child, that you're going to raise in a godly home, but when they get grown, they're going to go their own way and ignore everything you told them. I can't tell you that. By the authority of the Word of God, I cannot guarantee you that you won't go to work tomorrow and be fired. I've had it happen to me. I can't tell you that you won't be out of work this time tomorrow and wondering where your next check's coming from. There's nothing in the New Testament that guarantees tomorrow or guarantees that none of these things will come upon us. I think Paul's thorn in the flesh has been talked about more than anything in the New Testament. The perfect example. Keep him from exalting himself. So there's all kind of reasons why things come upon us. But there's no way that I can guarantee that these things won't come. And I think it's also something else I can't tell you. I can't flippantly tell you, well, just trust the Lord, la-di-da. Because fear and anxiety is real to us. It's part of our life. And trusting the Lord sometimes, as the old country preacher said, show ain't easy. And if you've ever had to really trust God, which we all have if we know Him, it's not always easy. Now, Walter, that don't sound right, but it's true. Just read the New Testament, the life of the disciples. Been with him a long time, and all of a sudden he does something, and they say, who is this guy? There's only one way. Listen to me. There's only one way that we can put our full trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, for no matter what we encounter, no matter what we come up against, and that's if we have a deep, close relationship with Him that's filled and saturated with His Word, that is a product of prayer, that is brought about by the working of the Holy Spirit within our lives. And that does not mean God has a wonderful plan for our lives, because God has a terrible plan for some people's lives. I have debated telling you this all week, and I don't like telling things like this. Brother Jim, you understand. Brother Jim, Bob. I was in deep concern this week about hearing about the slaughter of Christians over in the Middle East. I have concern about that. That's a form of worry and anxiety, okay? Because I need to do something about it. And I have my quiet time in the morning. Robin has hers in the evening. But then I was sitting in my office. I don't even remember exactly where in the Word of God I was reading, and I was I was in prayer to him. I was talking about this, about the people over there that were being killed, the men, the women, the children. I can't do anything, Lord. I can't help them. I can pray for them, but I can't stop this slaughter of innocent people. And you know what dawned on me? I didn't have a vision or anything now. I didn't hear no voices. You know what came to my mind? There's a slaughter of thousands in our country every day behind sanitized walls of clinics and hospitals, and I can do something about that. Had I not been, Brother, I don't know, Brother Jim, if I had not been in prayer about that, had I not been in the scriptures about that, I don't know that that would have come to my mind. There's nothing I can do for those people over there. I'm not there. But I can help here. I can support, save a life. I can do all these other things and try to stop the slaughter of thousands of innocent lives that go on here every day in this country. And I don't know that I'd have known that. And I'm no spiritual giant or anything. Matter of fact, I'm worse than weak. But I don't know that I would have known that had I not been in prayer about that. And that's what we have to do. We live in an uncertain life. We have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. The only certainty that you have in your life is you're going to die. And if you know Christ, the only certainty is the greatest certainty you can have is that you know Him and He will never leave you alone. And if you don't know Him, then you should have some real fear and anxiety. Because there's only one thing in your future, and that's an eternity of unimaginable hell that you can't even begin to imagine. But if you know Christ, there's certainty in it. And you'll know that you'll never go over a path, or you'll never come around a corner, or you'll never face a day that He won't be with you. Okay. And you're going to know that because you fill your heart and mind with the Word of God. You pray and you meditate upon His mercies and His grace. Now, it just won't zap into your head. We're going to get to our text toward the end. It's a long introduction and a very, very short sermon. I want to take you, and don't turn there, just listen, to Mark. And I want to, again, reflect back on what I heard you hear on television and all these things. And I want to read to you, and we touched on this several weeks ago in the Olivet Discourse, but this is our Lord speaking to the apostles who were about to be, within just 45 days or so, the preachers that were going to take the gospel to the world. Listen to what he said very closely. And I'm going to pick it up in the middle, sort of. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be frightened. Those things must take place, but that's not the end. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pains. And certainly our world is a tumultuous place, right? It's constantly in turmoil. But be on your guard, he says, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony for them. The gospel must first be preached in all nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, father his child. Children will rise up against their parents and put them to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Oh, now you take that somewhere and win friends and influence people with it. Joel Osteen would never allow the Lord Jesus to preach at his church, because he'd empty it in one day. It'd take gun and gun probably a few weeks, but the Lord would empty it the first day. Now, my point in all this is, what expectations did the Lord Jesus Christ give to his disciples? What expectations does he give to us? But in all of these things, he said this: be on your guard. Your testimony is for my sake. And how do we know that events that bring about in our life worry and anxiety and actually develop are not brought upon us in order for us to give a testimony for the gospel? The Christian in Jerusalem would never have left if Saul had started trying to kill all of them. Never. And Jesus says here, this is real. And like Brother Jim said earlier, we don't worry about people bashing down our home door or bashing down the door of our church and taking us off to jail. But beloved, when we have so much given to us, we have to produce a lot because of it. Because we've been given a lot, a lot will be expected from us. But the Lord Jesus Christ here lays out what the life is going to be like for these men and for you. Just because they don't knock our door down and come get us doesn't mean they don't want to. And if you go over to John chapter 15, and I'm quoting from memory again, but you'll see where the Lord says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. No, it hated me before it hated you. Know what's in store for you as a Christian before you become a Christian. MacArthur says, count the cost. So all of this comes to one thing. What do we expect? Is our expectations creating our worries and anxieties? Now, none of us, all of us want our family and our children and our grandchildren and ourselves to be healthy and strong and so forth. That's understandable. But when it comes to focusing upon the gospel, what are our expectations? Jesus here says, even there'll be turmoil within a person's family. And you'll be hated by all because of my name. Now that is a reality in our country. If you're a Bible-believing, true Jesus is the only way to God, Christian, you are despised. You understand that? You see people on TV and on the talk shows, which I don't watch them, but I do watch news sometimes, talking about being a Christian and this, that, and the other. You let one of them say on air, and look in the camera, and if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in true repentance and faith, you're going to bust hell wide open. He won't be on there 5 minutes after that. So, Jesus lays out here what it means, what these men were going to face. Now, we may be spared that. I don't believe any of us have been drugged into church and flogged. I don't believe we've ever had to live that, but I bet you this. I bet most every one of you has lost a relationship with a family member because you know Christ. I bet. I don't bet. I anticipate. I'm sure that you've lost friends. Brother Jim, you had friends when you became a Christian, and you probably hadn't heard from them in 50 years. And that's part of who we are. That's part of what brings about worry and anxiety. You know what the answer is? Well, let's go to Luke. Listen to what our Lord says in Luke chapter 12. You're going to find this very familiar. He said to his disciples, "For this reason, I say, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor your body as to what you will put on." Now, see, we're going to come down. Stay with me. Because we're coming down more to our everyday life now. Okay? We have worry and anxiety based on our faith in Christ, what we expect, how we expect people to treat us. That's what we looked at just a moment ago. Now we come down more to our everyday life. This is where we live every day. Let's start over. Chapter 12, verse 22. He said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry for your life as to what you will eat, or your body as to what you will put on." For what reason? Well, the reason is that right before this was the two men who came to him. You remember? Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." What was Jesus' answer? "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" That man was concerned about what? What he was going to get. Then right behind that comes the parable of the rich fool, you remember? The man who had all the things, and he built bigger barns and all to put things in. What happened to him? Well, he just said, "I'm going to sit back, soul, and I'm going to enjoy life. I got it made." And you remember what the Lord said? "You fool, this very night your soul will be required of you. Now who will own what you've prepared?" So a person can fret and worry and have anxiety their whole life, building up whatever they build up, and there's nothing wrong with working, and there's nothing wrong with building a retirement, but I mean focusing upon that, and that being the only part of their focus, and every day is worry and anxiety, and worry and anxiety over if somebody's going to take it from me, or somebody's going to come out with something better, or somebody's going to build a business down the road and take all my business, and that's the main focus of their life. And that creates worry, anxiety, fear. And all of a sudden, it's not important. You can't show me one billionaire in this world that finds out he's got 30 days to live because terminal cancer wouldn't give every dime he's got to do away with that. So on the heels of that, Jesus says, "For this reason, don't worry about your life, for what you eat, or your body is what you put on. For life is more than food, and body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom, no barn, but yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? If then you cannot even, do even a little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" Now listen, stop right there. That word worry is a Greek word that means to be anxious, troubled, or to have cares. But listen to me closely. It also means to seek to promote one's own interests. So there's a selfish element to it. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord created the Greek language? And isn't it beautiful how the Spirit of God put the meaning, that word with that meaning, right here in this passage, right behind these two examples? So worry and anxiety can also be selfishness, looking out for my own interests. And that's a name and claim it bunch, right? God owes me these things. God should give me all these things. Jesus goes on to say that God clothes the grass. He clothes the grass going to be thrown in the furnace. And he said, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But here your Father knows what you have need of these things. And here's the bottom line, beloved. But seek His kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. You know why? Because when we're seeking the kingdom of God first, when we're seeking His will first, our desires will automatically go second. Automatically go second. Listen, look at me. Look at this mean-looking guy. I want to ask you a question. And I want you to answer honestly in your heart. I do this a lot, but don't raise your hand, don't answer. Are you in love with Jesus? Do you really know Him? Is He the most precious thing to you? Really? Does hearing His words come off these pages sound like melody in your ear? Clint, I was stopping and Robin this week, and I said, I was reading something, and I stopped in the middle of the day, and I just blat it out, because she spends the day with me. And I said, can you imagine hearing that sweet voice? It had to be the sweetest voice that's ever spoken. The most kind, gentle, caring, loving person to ever walk this earth. Can you say in your heart with all your soul, I know my Redeemer lives? Because He comes alive to me from the Spirit of God that embodies me. Excuse me. And that's, beloved, search your heart, Paul says. Make sure of your calling and election. If that don't mean we won't have worries, that don't mean we won't have anxiety, that don't mean we won't have a broken heart, but you know what that means? That means that we'll always know in our souls our blessed Lord is with us. And then the next verse that he said will have a deep meaning to us. And he ended it this way. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. What? He just said that God has given us His kingdom. And they were so concerned about a loaf of bread when they possess the kingdom of God. What is that going to be like? It's not going to be like nothing. It is already. You have it. Join heir with Christ. If you know Him, and all the worry and anxiety that we have in our lives that we have no control over. You know what? That word worry and anxiety there can also be contentment. So you go and study the word content in the New Testament, and you're going to find some really nice things I don't have time to tell you about. But I do have time to tell you this if I can find it. Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Is that what we've been talking about? What, that you can tell him all these things you want? No. That he may exalt you in the proper time. Casting all your anxiety upon him. Because he cares for you. Do you really think that the Lord Jesus cares for you? Do you know in your soul that he cares about you and your life and your eternity? So what have we learned? We've learned this. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. All that we need will be added to us. Don't worry about tomorrow. And I didn't read that, but tomorrow's got enough worry of its own. But be anxious for nothing. By prayer, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. I can't tell you what tomorrow's going to bring. I can't tell you all the things I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that he rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Our text, I'm finally getting to it for the last 5 minutes. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. What does that word rescue mean? Drew us to himself. You see, it's just like you ever took one of your children and just put your arms around them and just hugged them as tight as you could. He drew you unto himself. Because you see, worry and anxiety, there's no magic formula, and I'm not going to tell you that. It's about knowing Christ. You got a wayward child you're praying for, don't stop. Even if you die, your prayers aren't dead. You never know what might happen. You got a situation you have a concern over, good. Take it to the Lord. He cares for you. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. You know, if we ever come to realize with fullness of what that means, everything else will pale in comparison. Your sins are forgiven. You remember the guy that broke the roof open and let him down? First thing Jesus said, son, your sins are forgiven. And they were. That guy's in heaven right now. Right now, because God forgave his sin. He forgives our sin. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. How can he forgive our sin? Because he is God. That gives us assurance, peace, confidence. Our Lord Jesus wasn't just a good prophet, like they said from time to time. He was God in the flesh. He is still God in the flesh because there's a man sitting in glory right now. The man, Christ Jesus. He's the God. The image of the invisible God. How do your worries and anxieties compare to understanding that? By him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. You know who it was that said, "Let there be light"? Same one that sat on the side of the road. I've told you this before. It's just amazing. Remember your thing about the barking dog, you know? Just amazing. It's the same one who sat on the side of the road in the afternoon under an olive tree, and somebody came up and spoke to him, and he had to hold his hand up to block the sun that he hung in the universe from his eyes. He created everything. And if you'll study that verse, you'll find out every ruler, every king, every president, every mayor, every governor, every one of them have been placed there by him. And if that doesn't grab you, go back and read 1st and 2nd Kings. You go back and read Jeremiah and read Isaiah and see how God says, "I will remove this one and I will put this one up." And even though we say, we really kind of wonder why you put the one you got up there now, Lord, we're reassured he did it. Amen. That's who he is. He's God. And he controls the events of this world. I'm about done. And he is before all things, verse 17, and in him all things hold together. You thought it was gravity, didn't you? Yeah, you thought gravity did it, right? Gravity holds everything together. No, beloved. The Psalms say he calls the stars, all of them, by name. And you cannot even begin to fathom what that means. Because the universe we live in is as eternal as our God. I have trouble remembering whatever they call planets in our own little spot here. Because they keep changing their mind whether there are or not. Not him. He calls them all by name. He's the creator of the universe, and everything moves at his discretion. And not, Brother Jim, we heard about a hair of your head not too long ago. Not a speck of dust falls where it doesn't supposed to fall. He's also the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. And that's where he so certainly deserves to be. He's completely the head of the church. If church is not about Jesus, if church is not about what we owe him, not what he owes us, it ain't church. Church is about Christ. And if there's any focus in the entire church other than Jesus, it's not church. So he rescued us. He redeemed us. He is God. He controls the events of creation. He was before all things. He is eternal. All things hold together in him. He is the head of the church. And lastly, it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Can you lay down in your bed tonight and close your eyes and not worry or care whether you die in your sleep? Do you have the peace of God? Beloved, we're going to face challenges. I can't tell you you're not going to have worry and anxiety anymore. I can't tell you you're not going to have issues. But I can tell you this, based on what this Bible says, our Lord Jesus Christ will never leave us or never forsake us. He is the peace. Last thing, 1 minute left. I got 1 minute left.
I got 1 minute.
And here it is. And this is my closing statement, Brother Clint. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hold it. And what worry and anxiety could come up over that? Beloved, fall in love with Him. Soak your soul in His Word. And worry and anxiety will have their own place. But there'll be nothing compared to the love of Jesus that we feel in our hearts. Amen.